remain standing as we read the Lord's Prayer together this morning. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And children, you are dismissed to your class if you have any kids that are going this morning. Perfect. Well, we read that again this morning, not because I am talking about the Lord's Prayer today, but because I know how much chaos fills our minds each and every day. And I wanted us, as a church family, to partake in the Lord's Prayer together so we can allow God to take our heart's desires and enter into His Word this morning completely focused on Him. So with that said, good morning. For those of you who may not know me, as I am still fairly new here, my name is Paul Wilson, and I am the new youth pastor here at Westside Church. Thank you. Hi, Eric. You can tell I'm the new guy by the fact that last week I covered for Pastor Eric by leading worship, and today I'm covering for Pastor Josh by preaching. You can also tell I'm the youth pastor by the fact that they put me in the downstairs office with no outside windows or no door, for that matter, and away from everybody else. I know. It's sad. Yeah, it's a good. You should go check it out. It's a great office. All jokes aside, though, I am incredibly honored to be here and excited for what God has in store for this church and in this community. And again, let me start by saying welcome. We're so glad you are here worshiping with us this morning. And if this is your first time here, we are especially glad you decided to join us. Here at Westside Church, you're going to find a very welcoming and loving community of believers. And my family and I can personally attest to that, as we felt like we belonged here from the first time we stepped foot through those doors. And hopefully at the end of your time here today, you will see proof of that as well. If given the chance, you will find an amazing community of loving and accepting people here that will make you feel like family from day one. I promise. Amen. Well, this morning I have the joy of speaking and sharing God's word with you. And if your hearts are willing to hear that word, not the word that comes from my mouth necessarily, but the word that comes from God and the Bible, if you're willing to hear that word today, then I know you will find that God has something incredible to share with you. Now, I realize that though I've had many great conversations with a few of you, most of you are still getting to know me, and especially my heart for ministry. So I thought, what better way to share my heart and passion for ministry with you than to give the highlights of my testimony first, and then we'll dive into my biggest passion, which is worship, and what that looks like for us as followers of Christ. But before I do that, before I dive into my testimony, I would appreciate it if you would bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in worship, through song, through fellowship, Lord, and now through the word, and we are just so grateful for your goodness. Lord, we are thankful for Jesus and his son. We are thankful for the cross and the resurrection. We are thankful for our faith and our salvation, God. And now, Lord, as I personally give my testimony, the work you've done in my life, I pray that your words would speak through me, God, that this would not just be me about me, Lord, but ultimately glorifying to you in your holy name. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, my story starts off like many Christians I have met over the years in that I grew up in a Christian home. The funny thing about that, or maybe the sad thing I should say really, is oftentimes when I hear people start their testimony with that very phrase, it is often said with regret and disappointment. Perhaps they think their story isn't as exciting as the born-again drug addict. I don't know, and I can't say for certain. But I can say that I am eternally grateful. And when it comes to my salvation, the word eternally is not an exaggeration by any means. I am eternally grateful for my parents who raised me in a Christian home with strong Christian values. I am grateful for my parents who literally at times had to drag me out of the front door on Sunday morning kicking and screaming because church was the last place I wanted to be. And I know it would have been so easy for them to just give into my temper tantrum and just stay home. But they powered through it, and they made me go, for which, again, I am incredibly grateful. Yes, it's true. When I was very young, I did not like church at all. Matter of fact, it wasn't until I was about 11 years old, and in the summer between my 5th and 6th grade years of school, that I began to enjoy attending service on Sunday morning, mainly because I was now old enough to participate in the youth activities, and a lot of my friends were with me at church as well. And so, from that point forward, church wasn't all that bad anymore. Then, one day, we got an announcement. We were all going as a church to a concert at the Oakland Coliseum to see a band even mainstream radio was playing on a daily basis. You may have heard of them. They were called DC Talk. Does anybody know who DC Talk was? Nope, all the young faces are like, no clue. But they were the band. And I remember being on summer vacation and blasting DC Talk on our stereo system throughout the house and jamming out to every song. DC Talk was awesome. And so, of course, I was excited to attend this concert. And so the day came, the concert came. We all went to the Oakland Coliseum. DC Talk played their music. We all sang along. We cheered. And then they finished. They got off the stage, but the odd thing was we weren't leaving. I mean, are we hoping for an encore here? Or is there something else going on? These are questions running through my mind at the time. And then a man walks up onto the stage, and he stands behind a pulpit. A man who I did not know at the time, but would later find out was one of the world's most well-known evangelical preachers of our time, Billy Graham. And Billy Graham begins to preach. He begins to tell of our need of a Savior, and about Jesus Christ, his death for our sins and resurrection from the grave. He tells us that it's a free gift of God, and all we have to do is believe in it and accept that free gift, and we will get to spend eternity in heaven with our Creator in perfect bliss. Now, like I said before, I grew up going to church. So this wasn't information I was hearing for the first time, believe it or not. But for some reason, on that night, the Holy Spirit was working in my heart now more than ever, and I felt the urge to accept this free gift of salvation. So at the age of 12 years old, at the Oakland Coliseum, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior in the end zone of the Oakland Raiders. Amen. Praise God. Shortly after that, I was baptized as well. While moving forward in time to the summer between my 8th and 9th grade years, at this time I began to pray for God's will and plan for my life. Now I realize 9th grade is maybe early to be thinking about what career I would do for the rest of my working life, but it was important to me at the time, and so I prayed for it. And if something is important to you, perhaps you should pray for it too. Well, after several months of praying without direction, I finally received my calling from God at a high school summer camp. God spoke to me and said this. He said, "I want you to lead my people in worship." That was it. "I want you to lead my people in worship. Clear as day, my mission has begun." Now, like some of you at this very moment, when I hear the word worship, or when I heard the word worship, my mind automatically went to music. After all, isn't that what we call the music portion of church, right? The worship time. Sure, so it's natural to assume that worship simply means singing songs to or about God, but the truth is that there's so much more to worship than just singing. Now, don't get me wrong. Music is definitely a method in which we can worship, and a very powerful method of worship at that. But if the only way you ever worship God was through music, and especially only on Sunday mornings, you're going to find yourself lacking spiritually. And we're going to talk about more about that in just a bit. But to quickly cap off my testimony, and believe me, there's so much more this morning that I am not sharing, and that I would love to share with you if given the opportunity. I attended Simpson University, where I met my wife, Elise, and obtained my bachelor's degree in music. And after graduation, I was hired on as the head sound technician for a neighborhood church here in Reading. I ended up leaving that position and moving up to Brookings, Oregon, to work at Fred Meyer for about 2 years. And you may be wondering, how does Fred Meyer play a factor into my testimony? Well, if you want to hear a story about God making all things work together for the good of those who love him, come talk to me. That's a good story, and actually involves the birth of our first and only son, Jude. Well, after 2 years in Oregon, we moved back to Reading, and I became the high school ministry assistant at Neighborhood Church, where I spent the next 5 years, and my passion for youth ministry really began to develop, as well as my passion for discipleship and worship, and what that looks like for us as believers. The only reason I left that position was to explore the world of being a lead pastor for the Outpost Church in Weaverville. And even though it was clear to me that being a lead pastor was not in my wheelhouse, at least not for now, because I can never rule out God's plan for my life, I am incredibly grateful for the people and the members of the Outpost Church and the experience and growth I obtained through my time there. Which brings me to today, here at Westside Church, doing once again what I love, youth ministry. Now, at this point, I'm going to take us from my testimony, who I am, where I came from, and we're going to focus on my biggest passion when it comes to God and the church, and that is worship and what that looks like for us as believers. Now, I have to be honest, this may not be the feel-good message of the year, but it is absolutely necessary and appropriate for those who call themselves followers of Christ to hear and understand. We are going to briefly focus on what worship is, how we worship, and why worship is important for us as believers. And at the very least, if there is one thing to take away from this morning, it's this. We worship God because of who he is and not because of how we feel. I'm going to say that again. We worship God because of who he is and not because of how we feel. Amen. Now, before we get into how we worship and why it's important for us, we need to first figure out what worship is exactly. So I thought, what better place to go than simply to the dictionary? The dictionary defines worship as this: to show reverence or adoration. Now, reverence is one of those words we hear. Maybe we have a basic understanding of, but if asked to explain it, maybe define it, we might have a hard time putting it into words. So let me help us out. Reverence simply means a deep respect for something or someone. And if you're following along in your notes this morning, for number one, you can simply put, to show reverence is to show a deep respect. So based on those two definitions, we basically define worship as this: to show a deep love and respect for something or someone. And in this context, a deep love and respect for God. If you're a parent sitting here, you know there's a vast difference between your children liking you and your children respecting you. Oftentimes, growing up, I would have disagreements or arguments with my father about this or that, and whenever I would ask him to give me a reason why should I obey you, why should I do what you want me to do, he usually gave the answer I am sure we are all too familiar with. Because I said so. Yes. Children all over the world just got goosebumps. Because I said so. Talk about frustrating. But the older I get and the older my son gets, I realize that because I said so isn't so much about taking the easy way out, because really we probably all have a dozen reasons why. It's about whether or not our children are going to trust us and have respect for us, even in the times they don't agree with us. The same is true about your relationship with God. He is our Father and we are his children. And when it comes to worship, we are to show a deep respect for him. I'm sure there have been times in your life when you have asked God why. Why should I worship God when everything in life is going wrong? Why should I worship God when I never feel closer to him or anything at all for that matter? Why should I worship God when he has never given me a good reason to? And God wants to let you know, because I said so. Not I, not Paul Wilson, but God. in his word, God wants us to worship him. And we worship God because he is worthy. So, are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to say, yes, I deeply respect you, God, and even though I don't always know why, I will choose to worship? If you would open your Bible with me, we're going to be in the book of Job this morning. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the seat in front of you. And we're not going to put it on the screen this morning. If you would, you can just read along with me or listen. We're going to be in Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. And as you're turning there, I want to set up what's going on here. You see, Job was a righteous man who found favor with the Lord. He had family, he had wealth, he had servants and friends, but most of all, he had a heart focused on God. But Satan comes along and he makes this claim. He says, Job only worships God because everything in his life was basically perfect, making the argument that Job only worships because he has something to worship for. So God allows Satan to take Job's family, his wealth, and later on in the story, eventually his health from him, to put this theory to the test. And this is where we pick up at verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them and struck them down and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. Talk about a bad day. If anyone in history had the excuse of not feeling like worshiping God, it was definitely Job on this day. But what does it say Job did right after hearing his entire family and all of his wealth had been taken from him? It says he fell to his knees and worshiped the Lord. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. You see, Job knew that all things came from God. He realized that everything he ever had was because God allowed him to have it and that he didn't earn it himself. Not only that, but notice how Job says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. How many of us, when something bad happens, automatically blame Satan and Satan alone? Now, I am not implying Satan isn't responsible for some of the bad things in your life, and truthfully, we ourselves are probably the most responsible for the bad things in our lives through the choices that we make. But you do need to realize, just as Job did, that all things are approved by God. There is nothing that happens that God doesn't already know about and has first approved of. And even though some of that stuff that God allows to happen is what we may consider to be bad in that moment, we are to have faith that God is working out all things for our good, as it says in Romans 8:28, and that he has a perfect plan for our lives. Job understood that. And even in the midst of extreme tragedy, he still had such a deep respect for God that he fell to his knees and worshiped. Parents, wouldn't you just have a heart attack from shock if after you disciplined your children, they started to worship you? I know I would. And Job here was a man who we would consider undeserving of discipline, but if you continue reading this story, you will find that God does not need a reason to carry out his plan for our lives. I also want to quickly point your attention to the fact that in the midst of this tragic news, even though Job did the right thing by worshiping God, he did not do what many of us do every Sunday morning. In that, he did not suppress his emotions and put on a fake smile to save face amongst those around him. It is very clear when it says that Job tore his clothes and shaved his head that he was in immense grief. This is important for you to hear. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows what you are going through. And yes, God wants your worship in total obedience, whether you feel like it or not. But he also wants you to come to him just as you are, with genuine emotion. Because he wants you to find peace and joy that can only come through the worship of himself. He wants you to take the burden of guilt or shame or anger off of your back and lay it before him. He wants you to stop trying to fix yourself and in turn allow him to take control of your life. Do you respect God enough to worship him in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of trials and temptations? Are you willing to worship God because of who he is and not because of how you feel? Because that is what worship is about, and that is what we are called to as believers. To expand upon an analogy Pastor Josh has been using the past 2 weeks, I want us to consider an earthly king, okay? Perhaps let's go back to medieval times, for example. As a peasant or a common person going before the king, you paid honor and respect to that king by bowing down. It didn't matter how good or how loving that king was. It didn't matter if you agreed with all of his decrees. All that mattered was that he is the king, and when you come before the king, you bow down, period. Yet so often, we come before God, who is not just the king, but the King of Kings, and we dismiss him. God, who is the very definition of love and justice and grace and perfection, and we just wave him away. We say things like, I don't feel like bowing down right now, Lord. I don't feel like worshiping. And in turn, we take the place as king of our own lives and then turn around and treat God like he's the peasant. Do you hear how crazy that sounds? That anyone would treat a king in this manner and get away with it? And not just any king, but the most loving and just and gracious king of all eternity? Indeed, he is the King of Kings, and he is worthy of our worship. Now, at this point, we know that we're supposed to worship God in all circumstances because he is worthy, and it's a sign of deep respect. But what does that look like? How are we supposed to worship God? These are good questions. But before I get into what worship looks like or how we are supposed to, I want to be clear about something. We don't worship God to gain favor or status with him. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation, then you are as good as you are ever going to be, eternally speaking. So we don't worship God to obtain salvation. We worship God as a response to our salvation. So how do we do that? How do we worship God? Well, there are many methods in which we can worship God. Several of the main ones, according to Scripture, include being in the Word, which is reading our Bibles, praying, serving, being in community with other believers, tithing, music, of course, through praise and adoration, but above all else, being obedient. Matter of fact, this is number 2 on our outlines this morning. The highest form of worship we can give to God is obedience. Obedience is the highest form of worship because, as I have said before, we worship God because of who he is and not because of how we feel. There will be many times in your life when you're going to have to make a choice. Do I worship God even though this is the last thing I want to do right now? I mean, after all, doesn't God want a heart that yearns for him? If I don't feel like worshiping God, then surely he doesn't want insincere worship, right? Well, actually, God wants your worship no matter what. And even though God wants your worship in all circumstances, remember, he isn't expecting you to not be yourself. So how does that look? Well, worship looks different for every person. But most importantly, worship is about the heart. It's about your offering to God. And that may look different for each and every one of you. Sometimes it means reading your Bible when you think you already have the answer. Sometimes it's saying a quick prayer as you drive to work in the morning. But please keep your eyes open and on the road. I just had to say that for insurance purposes. Sometimes it means actually singing along for those of you who don't like to sing. And for those of you who are born to be opera singers, sometimes it means being quiet and letting the words of the song speak to the very depths of you. It could be raising your hands, it could be singing, it could be serving in the church, it could be cultivating relationships, but whatever it is, make sure you are being obedient to what God has called you to. Because all forms of worship stem from a person's willingness to say yes to God. And when we say yes to God, it's not forced. God will never make you worship him. That conviction you feel to do good and to worship God comes from the Holy Spirit inside of you. So while we are to worship God in all circumstances, it is important to realize that ultimately we are the ones to make the choice ourselves. We have to be the ones to say, no matter how I feel in this moment, I will choose to worship. And when we make the choice to worship God, Scripture promises us that we will be blessed. And this brings us to our final point for today, why worship is important for us. Even though worship isn't about us or for us really, but about God and honoring him, in his goodness, he has poured his love and blessings on those who would choose him first in their lives. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about how those who live a life in accordance with the Spirit, those who make the choice for daily worship in their lives, will reap the benefits of the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, this does not mean that life will magically get easier for you, or that you won't still have struggles and temptations in your life. Okay, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel here. It does mean, however, though, in the midst of those trials and temptations, you will find yourself with more patience than you ever thought you could have, with more love for the people who have wronged you, with a deep sense of peace in knowing God is in control, with more self-control, which I know we all need more of, with an unexplainable joy in your heart, and so much more. When we make the choice to worship God in obedience, we receive blessing, we receive healing, and we receive renewed hearts and minds. Another reason worshiping God through multiple areas is important for us, especially things like reading your Bible and praying, is because it keeps us rooted in our faith no matter what comes at us. There will be times in your life as a Christian that certain people or even situations will test the very faith that you stand upon. In those times, your faith will either be shaken or it will hold firm. In those times, you will find out if your house is indeed built upon the rock or upon the sand to be washed away with every tide of life. And being a person who worships daily will help your faith to hold firm in even the worst of circumstances. So read your Bible, be in prayer and service and community and other forms of worship, because it will cause your heart, your soul, and mind to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit wants for you in your life. You know that gut feeling you get when something wrong is happening? Even though you can't cite the scripture reference to prove it, you just know. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And the more you make the choice to be obedient to God and give him the respect he deserves, the more in tune with the Holy Spirit you will be. So why is worship important for us? And this finishes our sermon notes as well, if you haven't already figured it out. Because when God receives our worship, we receive his blessings. Worship grounds us in our faith and gives us the roots we need for God's fruit to grow in our lives. Well, as we end our time this morning, I'm going to pray. We're going to have the worship team back up for one last song. But before we do that, I want to remind you that we worship God because of who he is and not because of how we feel. I know that's a bold statement and oftentimes easier said than done. But remember the story of Job and how when everything was taken from him, he still chose to worship the Lord. And at the end of that story, it says that God blessed Job with more than he had to begin with. When we are obedient and make the choice to put God first in our lives, he is faithful to bless us as well. So I encourage you, during this last song, no matter what happened this week, no matter what's going through your mind right now, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what distractions you have, make this a starting point. A point when you decide, I will choose to show a deep love and respect for God because he is the King of Kings and he is worthy. I will choose to worship. Let's pray. Father God, you are so worthy. Lord, the King of Kings, Lord, the angels bow before you and cry, holy, 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 because of your greatness. Lord, and who are we, Lord, that you would be mindful of us, that you would care about us? Lord, to think about such things is a humbling thought. That the King of the universe would look on us and love us. But you do, and we are so grateful for you. We are so grateful for your grace and your love, God. And I pray now as we enter into a time of worship through music during this last song, whatever distractions fill our mind, Lord, whatever wrong or injustice has happened in our lives, Lord, no matter how upset we are with you at this time, that we would understand that you are making all things work together for our good. And though we can't see the end story at this moment in time, Lord, we have faith that you have a perfect plan for us. God, so let this time be a time of glorifying and honoring you because you are worthy. Lord, we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.